Out here, if you're doing nothing, you're doing everything right. Though on a cruise with Norwegian, even if you're doing nothing, you're still basking in the warm sun, enjoying the peaceful ocean waves, you're breathing. Don't forget about breathing. Definitely need to be breathing. So you get to do nothing or everything, but you still need to be breathing. It's like really important.
Experience the difference with cruises to Alaska, the Caribbean, and Europe. Norwegian Cruise Line. It's different out here. Visit NCL.com, call your travel advisor, or 1-888-NCL-CRUISE. Norwegian Cruise Line ships registry the Bahamas and USA.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Hi, I'm Elise. 3 months ago, I thought I was losing my mind. Now I know better. Someone was stealing it from me, piece by piece. Elise, are you even listening to me? Marcus asked, his voice dripping with concern that made my skin crawl now, but back then just made me feel guilty. I'm sorry, I thought you said we were meeting at 7, not 6. Babe, we literally talked about this yesterday. 6 o'clock. I even texted you this morning to confirm. He pulled out his phone, showing me a message I didn't remember receiving. See? Right here. I stared at the screen, my stomach twisting. I don't remember that. You've been so forgetful lately. Maybe you should see someone about this memory thing. His hand squeezed my shoulder. I'm worried about you. That was Marcus's specialty, making me doubt everything while positioning himself as my concerned savior. He'd been my boyfriend for 2 years, and for the last 6 months, I'd been convinced something was seriously wrong with me. Did you take your vitamins today? He'd ask every morning. Yes, of course. Really? Because the bottle looks full. You know how you forget things. I'd check the bottle, finding it exactly where I'd left it. Pills missing that I could have sworn I'd already taken. Or had I? I couldn't remember anymore. My best friend Jenny noticed first. We were having coffee at our usual spot when she grabbed my hand across the table. Elise, what's happening to you? You seem so different. What do you mean? You're jumpy. You second-guess everything you say. Last week you apologized 3 times for ordering tea instead of coffee, like it was some huge deal. I've been really forgetful. Marcus says, that's all I ever hear anymore. What do you say? I pulled my hand back. He's just trying to help. I really have been forgetting things, important things. Like what? Like conversations we've had? Plans we've made? He showed me texts I don't remember sending. Jenny, what if something's really wrong with me? She leaned forward, her eyes intense. Has he ever suggested you stay home more? Cut back on work? Spend less time with friends? My throat tightened. He's concerned about my stress levels. Elise, listen to me very carefully. Does he ever tell you things didn't happen the way you remember them? All the time. But that's because my memory... No, stop. Just stop and think. When did this start? I traced the rim of my coffee cup. Maybe 6 months ago? Right after you got that promotion. Right after you started making more money than him. That's not... Jenny, you're making something out of nothing. Am I? Tell me one thing you're absolutely certain about anymore. I opened my mouth, then closed it. I couldn't. That night, I found Jenny's number blocked on my phone. When I asked Marcus about it, he looked concerned. Babe, you blocked her yourself. Don't you remember? You said she was making you paranoid, stressing you out. I would never. You were really upset. You said you needed space from her negativity. Here, check your blocked list. He was right. Her number was there. But I didn't remember doing it. Marcus, I'm scared. What's happening to me? He pulled me close. It's okay. We'll figure this out together. Maybe you should take some time off work. The stress might be making things worse. I can't just quit my job. I didn't say quit. Just a break. I can support us for a while. You need to focus on getting better. Something in his tone made my spine stiffen, but I couldn't pinpoint why. I was too busy trying to remember if I'd really blocked Jenny, trying to trust my own mind. I unblocked her number after he fell asleep and sent her a message. "I didn't block you. Something's wrong. Really wrong." Her response came immediately. "Meet me tomorrow. Noon. Don't tell him. And Elise, start writing everything down. Every conversation. Every detail. Trust your written words, not your memory." I started keeping a journal on my phone, hidden in a folder labeled recipes. Every conversation, every detail, every moment of doubt. Day one, Marcus said we agreed I'd quit my job. I have no memory of this conversation. Checked my email, I have 3 upcoming projects I'm excited about. Why would I quit? Day three, found my car keys in the freezer. Marcus said I put them there. I don't remember touching them. Day seven, he reminded me I promised to stop seeing Jenny. I never promised that. I know I didn't. Jenny met me at a coffee shop across town, somewhere Marcus would never think to look. "You look terrible," she said, not unkindly. "I've been documenting everything. Jenny, either I'm having a complete mental breakdown or someone's gaslighting you. Have you heard that term? Gaslighting? It's psychological manipulation, making someone question their own reality, their own memories, their own sanity. It's abuse, Elise." The word abuse hit me like cold water. "Marcus wouldn't he? Let me ask you something. Does he have access to your phone?" "We share locations, for safety." "Does he know your passcode?" "Yes, but could he have edited texts, deleted messages, sent messages from your phone while you were asleep or in the shower?" My hands started shaking. "That's insane." "Is it? You said you found Jenny blocked on your phone, but you don't remember doing it. What if you didn't? What if he did it from your phone?" I thought about all the messages he'd shown me, conversations I didn't remember having. "How do I prove that?" "We need help, professional help." She slid a card across the table. "Dr. Patterson. She specializes in psychological abuse. She's helped people document gaslighting for court cases." "Court cases?" "Elise, if what I think is happening is really happening, you need evidence, legal evidence." Dr. Patterson's office was warm, filled with plants and soft lighting. She listened to everything, taking notes, her expression growing darker. "What you're describing is classic coercive control," she said. "The memory manipulation, the isolation, the undermining of your confidence. These are textbook gaslighting techniques." "But why? Why would he do this?" "Control, power, financial dependence. You mentioned you got a significant promotion?" 6 months ago. "And when did the memory problems start?" The timeline clicked into place. 6 months ago. "He wants you dependent on him, questioning yourself. Eventually, you quit your job, isolate from friends, and rely entirely on him. You become trapped." "How do I prove this?" "We document. We gather evidence, and we need to be very careful. When abusers realize they're losing control, they escalate." She leaned forward. "I need you to do something that might feel extreme. Set up a hidden camera app on an old phone. Leave it recording in your apartment. We need to catch him in the act." "That feels like I'm the one doing something wrong." "You're protecting yourself and potentially saving your own sanity. Literally." I set up the camera that night, hiding an old phone in a bookshelf with a clear view of the living room. For 3 days, nothing unusual happened. On day 4, I came home from work to find Marcus rearranging my kitchen cabinets. "What are you doing?" "Helping you organize, babe. You've been so scattered." Later, after he left, I couldn't find my prescription medication. I'd had a full bottle that morning. When I called him, panicked, he sighed. "Elise, you took the last one yesterday. Don't you remember? You said you'd refill it today." I had at least 20 pills left. "Check your medicine cabinet. I think you're getting confused again." I checked. The bottle was there, empty, but I knew it had been full. The next morning, I reviewed the hidden camera footage. There it was, clear as day. Marcus entering my apartment with his key while I was at work, taking my medication bottle and emptying it into the trash. Then he repositioned my keys from the counter to the bookshelf, moved my wallet, switched my vitamins with identical bottles, I watched him methodically dismantle my reality, and something inside me crystallized into pure, cold fury. "Jenny," I said when she answered my call. "I've got him. I've got proof." I invited Marcus over 3 days later, after making copies of all the footage and sending them to Jenny, Dr. Patterson, and a lawyer. I'd also invited Jenny and Tom, Marcus's college friend who'd been expressing concerns about his behavior lately. Marcus walked in, smiling. "Hey, babe, what's this about? You sounded serious on the phone." "Sit down, Marcus." "Okay, you're kind of freaking me out. What's going on?" I pulled out my laptop. "I want to show you something." "Is this about your memory issues again? Because I've been reading about early onset dementia and..." "Stop, just stop talking and watch." I played the footage. His face went through a fascinating journey. Confusion, recognition, calculation, denial. "What is this?" "That's you, Marcus, in my apartment. Moving my things, hiding my medication, systematically making me think I'm losing my mind." "That's not..." "You're taking this out of context. I was trying to help." "Help? You were gaslighting me. For 6 months. Why?" Jenny stepped forward from where she'd been standing in the kitchen. "Answer her question, Marcus." His face twisted. "Jenny, of course you're behind this. You've always been jealous of our relationship." "Me?" "I watched you destroy my best friend's confidence piece by piece." Tom moved closer too, and Marcus's eyes darted between us. "Tom? Seriously, man?" "I saw the texts, dude," Tom said quietly. "You were bragging about it. About how you'd have her quit her job within a month. How she'd be completely dependent on you. You went through my phone? You left it at my place. It was open. And yeah, I looked because Elise asked me to. Because she needed someone who knew you to confirm she wasn't crazy." Marcus stood abruptly. "This is insane. You're all ganging up on me." "Elise, baby, please. These people are putting ideas in your head. Don't you dare. Don't you dare tell me what's in my head. That's what you've been doing for 6 months. I love you. Everything I did was because I love you." "Love? You systematically destroyed my sense of reality. You isolated me from my friends. You tried to make me quit my job. You made me doubt my own mind. I was worried about you. You were stressed. I was fine. I was successful and happy and confident, and you couldn't handle it." His expression shifted then, the mask dropping. "You were getting too independent, making more money, getting all that attention at work. You were pulling away from me." "So you decided to break me? To make me think I was insane?" "I was keeping us together." "By abusing me." "I never hit you. I never..." "Psychological abuse is still abuse, Marcus." He lunged forward, grabbing my arm hard enough to bruise. "You ungrateful..." Tom grabbed him, pulling him back. "Don't touch her." Marcus shoved Tom, and suddenly they were fighting, really fighting. Jenny called 911 while I backed away, my arm throbbing where he'd grabbed it. "You bitch," Marcus screamed at me. "I'll destroy you. I'll tell everyone you're crazy. I'll ruin your reputation. Nobody will believe you." The police arrived within minutes, finding Marcus still raging, still threatening. Officer Sarah Monroe took my statement while her partner restrained Marcus. "We have video evidence of him entering my apartment without permission, tampering with my possessions, and verbal threats just now," I said, surprisingly calm. "And physical assault. He grabbed me hard enough to leave marks." Detective Monroe examined my arm, photographing the forming bruises. "We'll need all your documentation. This is harassment, stalking, and assault, possibly more." Marcus was still yelling as they led him away. "You're crazy, Elise. Everyone will know you're crazy." "No," I said quietly. "Everyone will know what you did." The legal process moved faster than I'd expected. With the video evidence, my documentation, Dr. Patterson's professional assessment, and Tom's testimony about Marcus's confession texts, the prosecutor filed charges for harassment, stalking, and assault. Detective Monroe met with me weekly, building the case. "How are you holding up?" she asked during one meeting. "Better than I thought I would. It's strange. Now that I know I wasn't crazy, everything makes sense. I can trust myself again." "That's good. Your testimony will be crucial. He's already trying to claim you fabricated everything, that you're mentally unstable." "Of course he is. That's what abusers do. The restraining order was granted within days. Marcus violated it twice, once by sending me emails from a fake account, once by showing up at my workplace. Both violations were documented and added to his charges. Dr. Patterson helped me process everything in therapy. "You're healing remarkably well," she observed during one session. "I think it's because I have proof. I spent 6 months thinking I was losing my mind. Now I know I wasn't. That's powerful." "It is. Many victims of gaslighting struggle for years, doubting their own experiences because they don't have concrete evidence. I'm lucky Jenny pushed me to document everything. You're strong. You trusted yourself enough to seek help, even when everything in your reality told you not to." Jenny and I were having lunch when Marcus tried one final approach. His mother called me. "Elise, please. Marcus is devastated. He made mistakes, but he loves you. Can't you just talk to him? Work this out?" "No." "But you two were so happy." "We weren't. He was systematically abusing me. Your son tried to make me think I was losing my mind so he could control me. He says you're exaggerating, that you misunderstood. I have video evidence of him entering my home and moving my possessions. I have documentation of 6 months of gaslighting. I have witnesses. Mrs. Chen, your son is an abuser and I will not work this out with him. You're being cruel. He's talking about hurting himself. If you don't, then he needs professional help. From a therapist, not from me. I am not responsible for his actions or his mental health. Goodbye." I hung up. Jenny was staring at me with pride. That was badass. That was necessary. He's still trying to manipulate me, just using his mother this time. "You didn't cave. I'll never cave to him again. He broke my trust in myself. That's not something you forgive." The trial took 3 months. Marcus was found guilty of stalking, harassment, and assault. The judge was particularly harsh. "Mr. Chen, what you did to Miss Rodriguez constitutes psychological abuse of the most insidious kind. You systematically undermined her mental health and sense of reality. This court takes such behavior very seriously. He received 2 years in prison, 5 years probation, mandatory psychological counseling, and a permanent restraining order." Tom approached me after the verdict. "I'm sorry I didn't see it sooner. You helped when it mattered. That's what counts." "He was my friend. I should have known." "Abusers are good at hiding. That's how they survive." I stood outside the courthouse with Jenny, feeling the sun on my face. "How does it feel?" she asked. "Like I can breathe again. Like my mind is my own." "What now?" "Now I rebuild. My career, my confidence, my life. All the things he tried to take from me."
"And if he tries to contact you after prison?"
"Then I document it and have him sent back. I'm not afraid of him anymore, Jenny. He tried to break my mind before he broke my heart. Instead, I broke his whole world. The false reality he'd built where he controlled me. And I'd do it again." She squeezed my hand. "I'm proud of you. I'm proud of me too." 6 months later, I got a promotion. I'd reconnected with old friends, started dating someone new, someone kind who respected my boundaries. I'd even started a blog about gaslighting and psychological abuse, helping other victims recognize the signs. Marcus sent one final letter from prison, begging for forgiveness, claiming he'd changed. I burned it without reading past the first line. "Some betrayals don't deserve second chances. Some people don't deserve forgiveness. And some battles are won not by reconciliation, but by refusing to let someone else define your reality ever again. Have you ever questioned your own reality because of someone else's manipulation? How did you realize what was happening? Share your story in the comments, and don't forget to like and subscribe for more true stories about finding strength in the face of betrayal.